get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
I am totally undecided. I'd write your name in at this point.
Usually by now I would have voted already, but I'm just not comfortable with either one of them right now. What are you looking for?
Uh-oh.
What do you need to hear?
Let's start at the crime bill and the fact that he has not only apologized, he has not only rectified. Every time he reverts back to, well, it was some, the black caucus members in the church, but they were with it too. Okay, you fooled them as well.
You know, you never said I'm sorry. You know, it's like I didn't do it.
I want to hear an ironclad plan. I don't want to hear if this or if that or after the election.
Does the presence of Kamala Harris on the Democratic ticket sway you at all?
Not at all. I don't know who said she had our vote. She does not. We were supposed to grab on to Kamala with the black girl magic, but that didn't happen because she didn't right her wrongs.
Like, I hold officials accountable. I don't care what color you are. And I think that too often we automatically think that because someone looks like you, that they're going to have your best interests at heart. And that's just not simply true.
All right. Yo, this is episode 315 of the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and welcome to episode 315. Yo, man, those were three quote-unquote undecided voters. Before this election, they were talking with MSNBC. And one of the things I've been really thinking about since this has become like sort of a thing. Let me take this down. One of the things I've been really thinking about since this has become a thing is that for one, I'm starting to believe that the people who would call themselves undecided voters at this point, the people who would do the false equivalencies and shit at this point in the game, the people who would, act as though like Joe Biden and Donald Trump are like two sides of the same coin. At this juncture, what I'm really starting to understand is that they got to be some of the most attention-seeking motherfuckers on the face of the planet right now. That's how I feel about this shit. Like, off top, like, this chick was talking about she didn't know anything about, like Joe Biden hasn't apologized for the crime bill. He did. That Joe Biden somehow tricked the Congressional Black Caucus into supporting the crime bill. He didn't. That Kamala Harris was only being chosen because she was black and she didn't quote unquote right her wrongs. Like all this shit tells me is that people are susceptible to low information, man. People are susceptible to low information. People are susceptible to memes. People are susceptible to social media. They don't do any motherfucking reading. They don't do any motherfucking historical research. And then when you bring these things to fruition, when you start telling them about the historical reasons why the crime bill came to be and why Kamala Harris is qualified to be vice president of the United States, despite the fact, like, notwithstanding the fact that she's black, notwithstanding that fact, but like just going through her record and her credentials and everything else, why she's qualified. Every time I see somebody who's a quote unquote undecided voter right now, y'all some attention seeking motherfuckers. Because truth be told, y'all could be like, you know, like truth. I feel like this at this particular juncture in the game. If you don't know who the fuck you voting for, you're just really trying to get on TV. Hopefully somebody put you on TV and you could, you know, hey girl, I was on TV. They told I could talk about voting and stuff, right? But also, a lot of the people who are calling themselves quote unquote undecided voters, truthfully speaking, It ain't got nothing to do with them being undecided voters, man. They are either supporting Trump or former Trump supporters, and they can't stomach having to tell people that this is who they're supporting after all of the shit that he's done, right? So, yeah, man. Undecided voters, man. I ain't really feeling them. I feel like y'all full of shit. I feel like y'all gaming everybody. I feel like y'all just playing this for attention and everything else. But yo, that's enough about that. That's enough about that. Starting the show already with a motherfucking rant. And my camera won't focus for a goddamn thing. I don't know why. But, yo, like I said, this is episode 315 of The Spam Report. And let me tell you guys how to get in touch with us here at The Spam Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. And, of course, those messages will get replied to here on the show. And played here on the show. And if you're watching this here live on YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope, you can chop it up with me live here on the show as we do it. So area code 313-288-0485. Lock in that number. Call that number. Chop it up with your man, Span. Also, email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails. And, of course, we will read and reply to those emails here live on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your man, Span, throughout the week. You can also hit up our website at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put those polls up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Also, hit up our store. Go there and get yourself some merch. We got face masks over there. We got t-shirts over there. We got long sleeve tees. We got hoodies over there. We got coffee mugs. We got sports bottles. We got the whole shebang over there. So if you like what you're hearing here at the Spirit Report Podcast, go ahead and support us in that way. It's one way to put down for the show, right? Also, 5-star views on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star views are the ones that get ready here live on the show. And we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that, because it doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spam Report Podcast Network, man. And we got a 5-star review to read here tonight, so shout out to them, right? But I think that's it. I think we covered everything. So, yeah, let me pull that graphic down and let me put another graphic up. But, yo, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going to get into this show, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. I got like 15 topics to get through, man. It's been a busy week. And I'm trying to try not to be so like politics heavy, but you know, the politics is kind of like what's driving the news right now. So we end up talking a lot about that stuff, man. But I do have some random thoughts. All right. Now, this random thought here is actually news related though. So take it for what it is. But so yeah, we heard that 50 Cent was supposedly like supporting Donald Trump. He's going to vote for Donald Trump. And he was doing so because Donald Trump was giving him a tax cut, right? And I'm gonna just say this, man. 50 Cent disowned his own son publicly. Right? Disowned his own son publicly. It is not a far stretch to believe that 50 Cent would disown black people for a tax cut, man. It's not far-fetched. Not at all. Not surprised in the least. Now, is power good enough for you like to continue to like tolerate this sort of shit? That's a decision you got to make for yourselves. But yo, I'm not surprised by 50 Cent deciding that, you know, this is a move to make publicly, right? And maybe it's a publicity stunt. Who the fuck knows? But, like, with the climate and the way that things are right now, I don't know if anybody is really in the mood to play like that, right? Here's the other flip side. Here's the flip side to this, though. You know, 50 Cent was very public in the fact that he was talking about, you know, Donald Trump's giving him a tax break and he would vote for Donald Trump, this, that, and other. Some of y'all got friends who believe the very same thing, but they believe it and they will vote for Donald Trump and they will do that shit quietly as hell. They're going to be real quiet and then they support for Donald Trump. Real talk. So, yeah, man. 50 Cent doing this little bullshit. Not surprised at all, man. Real talk. That was a random thought that I had. Another random thought that I had while we're talking politics, man. I'm kind of amazed that folks are allowing Republicans to pretend, or the Republican establishment, so to speak. Kind of amazed that folks are allowing the Republican establishment to pretend as though they are, what should we call it? Surprised, shocked, bewildered, so to speak, at the fact that there's so many races in their party. Meghan McCain's real good at this. Like one of the things that like I thought was very interesting is that like Meghan McCain would always say that like, yo, you guys are always on the left. You guys are always talking about, you know, Republicans and the right being racist and this, that, and the other. And it's like you guys are crying wolf and now no one believes you guys because you cried wolf so many times. And truthfully speaking, you know, the racism and the racist, like, were always sort of there, just like underneath the surface. Now they're just overt. You know what I'm saying? It's not as if they were never there. They're just overt now. They're out in the open and they can no longer deny it. And so like for these Republicans to now come out and like these establishment Republicans to act as though they're shocked and they're surprised and they're bewildered and they can't believe that all of they're surrounded by a fucking gang of racists. Like y'all been harboring these people for the better part of the last 35 to 40 fucking years, man. So yeah, I'm just shocked that like I'm shocked that we've allowed establishment Republicans to pretend as though they're surprised at the fact that Donald Trump not only one is taking complete control of their party, but two that they're surrounded by a bunch of racist xenophobic motherfuckers. Like I'm just surprised that we've allowed that shit to happen. Now, another random thought that I kind of had, man, because you know I'm somewhat of a gun enthusiast, man. I shoot guns. I own guns. I believe in the Second Amendment, and in like Second Amendment circles, man, a lot of times, man, you'll hear folks talk about having shotguns, and there's a segment of gun owners who believe that the only thing they have to do when a home invader comes to their home is rack around in the slide of their shotgun, and that will let the let the home invader know that they mean business and they should not be fucked with.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Let me tell y'all something, man. Shotgun owners, please, listen to me for a second. When you rack around in the slide, although it means that you are armed, I'm pretty sure that someone who's bold enough to do a home invasion is kind of cognizant of the fact that the house they may be breaking into with people in it, that they may run the risk of running into someone who's armed. And you know what you just did when you told that, like, when you racked that round in the slide? Is, you just told them where the fuck he was in the house, man. Like, you just completely told them where the fuck he was. So now you've eliminated all element of surprise or whatever. And if they are armed when they go in the house, because, you know, if they're doing home invasions, maybe they've armed themselves. Maybe they just shoot into the room before they even get into that motherfucker. Who knows? But stop doing that and stop telling people that's all they need to do when they get like, because here's the other part about this, because I know a lot of people are scared with the political climate right now. And, you know, a lot of people are buying firearms. You got a lot of first time firearm owners, you know, gun buyers and stuff like that out here. And you got people who are telling me, just get the 12 gauge and rack around the slide. You might not even have to shoot it. Like, no, don't tell them that shit. They may have to defend themselves, and just racking around in the slide, not prepared to shoot that motherfucker, is not helping nobody, man. It's not helping nobody. Also, like I said, you just gave up your location in the house, and now they know whoever's in that room got a gun, right? So, yeah, man, those are my random thoughts, man, real talk. But we have some listener feedback, y'all. We got some listener feedback to the Spare Report podcast, and like I said, 5-star reviews are the ones that get right here live on the show. And we got a 5-star review on iTunes. This comes from Not Andre. And he says he's been a fan since earlier this year. All right.
Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
It's excellent. I love it. I fucking love it. But Not Andre writes in and say, Mr. Spam, your platform keeps it 100 all the time. I enjoy your perspective on the topics that relate to the people. Keep up the good work. P.S. My condolences to the loss of your grandmother, man. And you know what, Not Andre? I really do not only appreciate those 5 stars, but I also appreciate those condolences for Granny, because Granny will never be forgotten. I think about her every day, and it's part of the reason why I continue to just like keep this ball rolling, because I know Granny would want me to. You know what I'm saying? And we take a shot or we take a swig on behalf of Granny. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Because that's what me and Granny would be doing if we was together right now, right? So, yeah, man. Thank you so much for the 5-star review, man. Real talk. The other part of the listener feedback that we got is also, we have some emails here. All right, so let me pull up our listener emails, man, because we got a couple of them over the course of the week. And our first email, this comes from the homie Reggie writes in. And Reggie writes in to say, hey, Span, real quick, I just wanted to ask if you think maybe, just maybe, You might be buying into rhetoric that is preemptively seeking to blame black men if Joe Biden were to lose this election by talking about the likes of Ice Cube and Kanye like you have the past few months. I was listening to an interview Charlamagne had with Diddy, and he made the point to say that black men are the largest group of men in the country that vote Democratic, and it's true. So what do you make of this, and how do you account for it when making your arguments against someone like a Cube or a Kanye? Anyway, man, love the show, and I never miss it. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on this particular development, Reggie. So here's the thing, Reggie. I get it. I get it. Like, a lot of brothers ain't really trying. Like, nobody wants to hold the L to be responsible for the loss that could have, you know, helped us as a people, right? Take, for instance, like last year. Not last year, but like the 2016 election, man. Like in a lot of the circles that I traffic in, and a lot of the circles that I'm sure like you may be trafficking in also, you know, one of the biggest developments that kind of came out of the like Trump's ascension to the White House was the fact that 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump, right? And in certain circles, they have not forgotten that. So when you start seeing all these videos that like cable news continue to bring us with, you know, remorseful white women who were Trump voters, and now they're trying to make amends and stuff like that. I mean, you want them to make amends, but at the same time, like, man, what the fuck were you thinking, right? And so that's the thing, like, what the fuck were you thinking? And so when it comes to, like, you know, Charlamagne, not even so much Charlamagne, but, like, people like Ice Cube, people like Kanye, like, one of the things that I've always noticed about them is when they're out here playing, like, footsie with the devil, so to speak, and this is just how I feel about it, but when they're out here playing footsie with the devil and black people call them on it, suddenly we're supposed to act as though they're not out here fucking up and we can't call them on it, right? Like, I don't get where we're not supposed to say, hey, man, especially if you're calling yourself being a representative of the community, right? So if you're going to call yourself being a representative of the community, and then when the community responds and says, hey, man, I don't fuck with this, and they're getting a lot of I don't fuck with this, it's not so much about, you know, throwing them away or anything like that. It's like, yo, man, you fucking up. And the community should be able to say on our behalf, hey, man, you fucking up. Now, the other part about this that, you know, that I would say is this, man. In 2016, Donald Trump won by the skin of his motherfucking teeth, right? There were certain, like, he won in Michigan, he won in Pennsylvania, he won in Wisconsin, which was supposed to be the blue wall for Hillary Clinton. There was a lot of people who didn't show up. I'm just going to speak for, like, Michigan. There was a lot of people in Detroit who didn't show up. The enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton wasn't the greatest. And had Detroit showed up, maybe we have a different outcome, right? Had Milwaukee shown up in greater numbers, maybe we would have had a different outcome. Had Philadelphia shown up in greater numbers, maybe we would have had a different outcome. Now, some of that could have been a result of voter suppression, but also some of it could have been like people responding to the propaganda, the negative propaganda that was coming their way about Hillary Clinton, and being upset about the fact that Bernie Sanders wasn't the nominee at the time, right? So at any given point, like at this point, with the way, with the stakes the way that they are right now, I'm not sure that you have a lot of black people who are on board with anybody playing any diddling games when it comes to Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I think a lot of people right now, even if they're not amplified to vote for Joe Biden, they, even if it's just simply a vote against Donald Trump, they're like, yo, man, we got to get this nigga up out the paint, like out the orange paint, you know, but they want him to get the fuck up out of here. And so when you got someone like a Kanye West who is running as a quote unquote third party candidate to try to siphon votes away from Joe Biden, when you got an Ice Cube, he was going out here promoting a contract with Black America that addresses things that legislation that has already passed the House of Representatives already addresses and presented it as though these are things he came up with on his own. And that black people and black leaders hadn't been considering these things. And he props himself in the forefront of that argument. Like, this is where, like, you start talking about this. Like, yo, man, y'all are fucking up, right? And we need to call you on that. So although black men overall are the largest group of black people, are the largest group of men who voted Democratic, I think that I don't want to ignore this. I think we ignore this sort of shit at our own peril. We can't be complacent. We can't be you know, like apathetic in a sense. We've got to address that shit head on. And that's part of the reason why I talk about it and I talk against it so forcefully, because, yo, man, like, at this particular, especially with the Ice Cube shit, man, it's like, yo, man, what the fuck are you doing at this juncture right now, right? We don't need that at this time. So, yeah, man, that's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel about it. But I appreciate you writing in, Reggie. And, of course, I hope to hear from you again soon, man, real talk. Now, we got another email here. And this one, Amun Ra Salim. Okay, I'm not Muslim, so I hope I didn't fuck that up. Excuse me, but it says, you are an agent. Okay, all right. Upset with the awakening of Brother Cube as he attempts to hold these devils accountable. Oh my God, hold on. Hold on. Is this in the black community? Pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Rite, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories. Nigga, we have never done special Hotep this early in the show, but goddamn, this reads like a Hotep manifesto, so to speak. So let me finish this up. It says, Cube, as he, you are an agent upset with the awakening of Brother Cube as he attempts to hold these devils accountable for what they've done and plan to do to our people. How dare you get on the internet and throw invective at this brother and his name? Oh, shit. Oh, man. How dare you adopt the oppressor's language in attacking him? You need to get off that white man's dick and get back in line and on code with the melanated people from which you... Oh, shit. Oh, man. The media is attempting to tear down this brother, and your sellout ass is here to do the same. The nerve of you. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Wow. I haven't seen an email like that ever. In the 9 years that I've been doing this show, I haven't seen one that comes out so forcefully and so forthright, so fast, so quickly, man. Oh, my God, man. Well, I'll tell you this, man.
Will you shut up, man? Listen.
Yeah, well, not, that was the wrong one. I'm sorry. It was...
First of all, fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you, man. Also...
It was at this moment where this listener knew he fucked up.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you call yourself speaking for black people and you don't include black women, you don't include the black LGBTQ community, you don't include anybody other than black male, black straight men in your contract with Black America, yeah, you're going to get a talking to. And it's not just going to come from me. It's going to come from the black women who have confronted Ice Cube. It's going to come from the black LGBTQ community who has already confronted Ice Cube. Everything I said about Ice Cube, I said about Ice Cube's statements. You didn't hear me repeat a motherfucking thing about Ice Cube saying anything. Or better yet, you didn't hear me repeat a talking point that came from white media. I played video of Ice Cube saying what the fuck he was saying, and then I responded to exactly what the fuck Ice Cube was saying. So miss me with this bullshit about adopting the white man's language to talk about Ice Cube, man. Ice Cube is out here fucking up. Also, you Eidos niggas, y'all some bots, man. Y'all some agents, nigga. Calling me y'all the agents, dog. Y'all the agents. That is the most obvious fucking divide and conquer fucking tactic on the face of the planet right now. The most obvious divide and conquer tactic to try to divide black folks into little groups. So this group is fighting against this group for the same little motherfucking scraps that are on that are left on the table, as opposed to all of us bum rushing the motherfucking table and fuck the scraps. We taking the whole bird. But y'all want to divide yourselves up into these little groups. Man, shut that dumb shit up, man. I hate that you even wrote my show. I kind of do. I hate that you wrote up here with that book. I mean, it's funny. It's funny, and I appreciate you being funny, man. I appreciate that. But listen, man. Don't write up here with that bullshit again. Amun Ra. probably ain't even your real fucking name, man. You probably like read the shit up in some fucking hotep library or whatever, and now you've adopted it for yourself or whatever. Who the fuck knows? But yo, that has been our listener feedback, yo. That has been our emails, and that has been our 5-star reviews from iTunes. But y'all know what time it is. Our first story here in the news has to be the fact that the Trump administration has lost parents of up to 545 migrant children who crossed the southern border last year. Okay, we read this story here. This comes out of the Associated Press. It says, court-appointed lawyers said Tuesday that they have been unable to find parents of 545 children who were separated at the U.S. border with Mexico early in the Trump administration. The children were separated between July 1st, 2017 and June 26, 2018, when a federal judge in San Diego ordered that children in government custody be reunited with their parents. Children from that period are difficult to find because the government had inadequate tracking systems. Volunteers have searched for them and their parents by going door-to-door in Guatemala and Honduras. More than 2,700 children were separated from their parents in June 2018 when U.S. District Judge Dana Sabrow ordered an end to the practice under a zero-tolerance policy to criminally prosecute every adult who entered the country illegally from Mexico. The administration sparked an international outcry when parents couldn't find their children. While those families were reunited under court order, authorities later discovered that up to 1,556 children were separated under the policy going back to the summer of 2017, including hundreds during an initial run at family separation in El Paso, Texas, from July to November 2017 that was not publicly disclosed at the time. Now, here's the thing that I think pisses me off the most about this, the two sides of the same coin shit when it comes to Joe Biden, when it comes to Donald Trump, is that folks will draw this false equivalence between Trump and the Obama administration. Folks will act as though the Obama administration was separating children from their parents. They were not separated from their parents when they was the when Obama was being called the deporter in chief. Guess who he was also deporting? The children. They went back home with their parents. They weren't separated from their parents. They went home with their parents. What's happening right now is a goddamn war crime. I don't know, war crime, crime against humanity, whatever the fuck you want to call it. This is a crime against humanity. Bottom line, and hopefully, and I know, like, here's a tricky situation that, say, Joe Biden becomes president, right? Say Joe Biden becomes president, he's going to be taxed or tasked with allowing the Justice Department to work as it should be, which is an independent part. Like, it's kind of like you appoint people to the Justice Department, but also the Justice Department is supposed to be an independent, like, sort of entity within the government, right? Is not supposed to be under the thumb of the current administration in much the same, in much the way that Donald Trump has been trying to use the Justice Department since he's been president. A lot of people believe that the Trump administration should be held up on charges, that they should be on trial, maybe go to jail for what's happening here. And because of the climate that's in the country right now, you're going to have a whole lot of right-wing people who are feeling like, who are going to feel like if they prosecute Donald Trump in any meaningful way, that it's somehow a declaration of war on them. And so it's going to be interesting, that fine line, how they navigate that, how they, you know, make sure that someone is held accountable for this, and also assuage the fears of those of the right wing who believe that anything going on with Donald Trump, or if Donald Trump is being held to account for anything that he did while in office, whether or not that's an attack against them, right? So the tension isn't going to go away. This is the other part I need people to understand. The tension isn't going to go away simply because Donald Trump isn't president anymore. If Joe Biden wins, it's not going to go away. There's still at least 60 million motherfuckers who walk this nation who think that Donald Trump was a good idea. 60 million of them. All right. So, again, yeah, like the fact that like 545 kids, they can't find the parents of 545 kids, man. And they willingly and wantonly separated these kids from their parents is a fucking travesty. It's a goddamn crime against humanity. And hopefully they're held accountable for that shit, man. Real talk. Another story that we got here in the news, man, is that a Kentucky judge has actually just ordered that the records for the grand jury in the Breonna Taylor case, that those records be unsealed and released to the public.
And that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. So we get this story here. This comes out of NBCNews.com. And do we have video? Yes, we do have video. So let me see if I can pull this video up so you guys can watch right along with your man, Span. Hopefully YouTube doesn't like, doesn't fuck us over this time, man. Real talk, because they did that to us last week, man, for real. But let's see what they're talking about when it comes to this Breonna Taylor case with NBC. Check this out. And I wonder if they're going to start us off with an ad. I hope not.
Tonight, in a rare rebuke, an anonymous grand juror in the Breonna Taylor case now says questions were asked about additional charges, and the grand jury was told there would be none because the prosecutors didn't feel they could make them stick, adding the jury never considered homicide charges because they were not given the option. The 26-year-old former EMT was shot and killed at her apartment in March during a botched drug raid. No officers were charged in her death, though one who's pleaded not guilty was accused of wanton endangerment for firing bullets that ended up in another apartment. Kentucky's Attorney General Daniel Cameron said the actions of the two other officers were justified because they opened fire only after Taylor's boyfriend shot at them first.
The rule of law must apply.
Police say they identified themselves. Her boyfriend insists they didn't. Now the juror says the grand jury didn't agree that certain actions were justified, nor did it decide the indictment should be the only charges in the Breonna Taylor case.
Arrest the cops!
A case that has fueled protests worldwide. Today, a Kentucky judge ruled jurors could speak publicly.
But at this time, our clients do wish to remain anonymous. We are still assessing their position moving forward.
Grand jury proceedings are typically secret by law, but previously, the Attorney General's office released 15 hours of audio recordings, revealing at one point at least, the jurors wanted to hear more.
We don't understand all the videos, it just cause of time.
Kentucky's Attorney General says he disagrees with the judge's decision, but will not appeal it, adding that he only asked for the charges that could be proven under state law. Taylor's family is asking for a new special prosecutor and another grand jury.
All right. So, here's the thing, man. Let me pull this down. But here's the thing. So, you've got an Attorney General, you've got a Justice Department in the state of Kentucky who essentially operated in much the same way that that Donald Trump assumes the Justice Department is supposed to work for the President of the United States, and that he uses the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
The fig isn't a fruit. It's a flower, and it blooms with.
But he uses the Justice Department as sort of like as a defense like apparatus for the police in this instance. Daniel Cameron. In this particular case, uses it as though it was like a defense mechanism for the police in this case, and much the same way that like Donald Trump assumes that like the Justice Department is supposed to protect him, the Attorney General is using the Justice Department to protect the police, and not so much to seek justice for the person who was the victim in this case, which was Breonna Taylor. And so it was also interesting to note that like in the grand jury proceedings, they're like, yo, we're not going to show you all of the videos at this particular point. And it's like, yo, but we got time. Like the grand jury at the time was like, yo, we have time for this. Like, why are you not showing us this information? Why are we not being given all of the information pertinent to this case? And so if you are a person who is seeking justice, if you're a prosecutor seeking justice, why then would you be withholding evidence against the case that you're trying to make? Why would you do that? Unless, of course, you're not really trying to pursue the justice at all. And so, yeah, man. Daniel Cameron, Republican. Mitch McConnell, lackey. Donald Trump, you know, lackey. Like, again, he spoke at the Republican National Convention. He's the Attorney General in this case. Consequences should be meted out for Daniel Cameron in the sense of, like, in the mode of voting his ass out the next time it comes for elections. Getting them the fuck up out of the paint. Hold these motherfuckers accountable. This is what we mean when we say hold them accountable. If their public officials are not operating in the ways in which they should, in the ways in which you see fit, then take your ass to the polls and get them out of the paint. Vote they asses out. I know we can go to the streets. I'm not knocking anybody who protests, who puts their bodies on the line, who amplifies their voices, who brings attention to these cases, but also go to the polls, vote, make your voice heard in official by official means as well. Right. You could do the outside game, but do that inside game as well. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news is, what was that? Rush Limbaugh, man. Rush Limbaugh has stated that his cancer is now terminal. And I know some of y'all are like, damn, man, that's fucked up. But
who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this? Nigga, this is ridiculous.
I mean, who cares, man, right? So we get this story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It says Rush Limbaugh, the conservative talk show radio host, is battling stage 4 lung cancer and said Monday he had a setback in his prognosis. The scans did show some progression of the cancer, he told listeners of his radio show. He later added, it's not dramatic, but it's in the wrong direction. The 69-year-old was diagnosed with lung cancer in February. Limbaugh said his doctors changed his medications in hopes of keeping additional progression at bay for as long as possible. Prior to this week's update, he said that the cancer had been reduced and it had become manageable. It's tough to realize that the days where I do not think I'm under a death sentence are over, Limbaugh said. Now we all are, is the point. We all know that we're going to die at some point, but when you have a terminal disease diagnosis that has a time frame to it, then that puts a different psychological and even physical awareness to it. Now, the question that I would have for somebody like a Rush Limbaugh is like, do you think that, okay, when you're having these times of facing your own mortality, when you're having these times of facing your own mortality, do you think about how much your rhetoric contributed to the adverse effects of people's lives as you contemplate the meaning of yours? Right? Think about the things that you said on the airways. Think about the ideals and the perspective that you shared across the airwaves, and how that may have negatively affected millions of people across this nation. Do you think about that while you're thinking about your own mortality in this moment? Do you think about that? You know, because I look at that and I'm looking at someone like a Rush Limbaugh. And although lung cancer or any form of cancer, I lost my mother to breast cancer. I lost my great grandmother to pancreatic cancer. I lost my grandmother on my father's side to lung cancer. So I'm acutely aware of what this disease can do, right? But also, it's not lost on me that you took the power that came with your microphone and you promoted policy that would negatively affect millions of people who look like me, and you did it every week, and you continue to do it to this day. And I just wonder, do you think about your, while you're thinking about your own mortality, do you think about how your words may have affected the mortality of other people who had to deal with the policies that not only you promoted, but you got the ear of the fucking president of the United States. You got the ear of a lot of these motherfuckers who are in Congress right now. And so I'm supposed to feel sorry that lung, like cancer is in your lungs, talking about,
I kill everybody up in this motherfucker.
I don't know if I got it in me, bruh. I don't know if I got it in me. So yeah, Rush Limbaugh, he's on the clock. He's on the clock. He's on that croak clock. So yeah, man, Rush Limbaugh, his cancer is terminal. At some point in time, we'll be saying good riddance. But yo, that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news, man, is black police officers are finding themselves having to break from their unions after their unions have endorsed Donald Trump's re-election campaign, man. All right, we get this story here. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. Is there a video attached to this? There is not. So we read this article. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. Like I said, this is police unions nationwide have largely supported President Donald Trump's re-election amid mass demonstrations over police brutality and accusations of systemic racism. But a number of black law enforcement officers are speaking out against these endorsements, saying their concerns over entering the 2020 political fray were ignored. Trump has touted his support from the law enforcement community, which includes endorsement from national, city, and state police unions, some of which publicly endorse a political candidate for the first time. He's running on what he calls a law and order platform and tapping into the strain of anger and frustration felt by law enforcement who believe they're being unfairly accused of racial discrimination. You know what? I believe I'm accused of, like, you know, we sometimes feel as though we're being unfairly accused of crimes that we didn't commit. Only I don't have a badge and a gun that legally allows me to kill anybody. I mean, I got a gun, but I have to, like, really justify my shit. I can't just say I feared for my life more often than not. I got to back that up with some other, you know, extenuated circumstances to justify why I used a firearm to defend my life and family, this, that, and the other. But police officers tend to get off in a much more expedient way, right? Says there are more than 8,000 law enforcement agencies in the U.S. with large departments holding sway nationally. The number of minority officers in policing has more than doubled in the last three decades, while many departments still have a smaller percentage of Black and Hispanic officers compared to the percentage of the general population those communities make up. Many fraternal Black police organizations were formed to advocate for equality within police departments, but also to focus on how law enforcement affects the wider Black community. There have often been tensions between minority organizations and larger unions, like in August, when the National Association of Black Law Enforcement Officers issued a letter condemning use of deadly force, police misconduct, and abuse in communities of color. Now, see, here's the thing. That shouldn't have even been controversial. That shouldn't have even been controversial. The fact that there are Black police officers within the police ranks who are like, yo, I come from this community. These people look like me. I have to live with these people more often than not. And yo, some of the actions that the police are taking are unwarranted, are over the top, and should be punished as we would punish somebody else who would be guilty of these crimes, right? But the fact that these Black police officers are stepping up to say, hey, man, like, this shit ain't necessarily cool, shouldn't be controversial, but it is. Shouldn't be controversial, but it is. It says, while support for the Republican incumbent does not strictly fall along racial lines, many Black officers say the endorsements of Trump don't fairly represent all dues-paying members. We are members of these unions, and they don't take into consideration our feelings about Donald J. Trump, and they don't care about us, and they don't care about our dues, said Rochelle Bilal, the recent past president of the Guardian Civic League of Philadelphia, calling the National Fraternal Order of Police Trump's endorsement an outrage. Bilal, who was elected as Philadelphia's first Black female sheriff last year, spoke at an early October news conference with other Black law enforcement groups in Philadelphia to condemn Trump's endorsements and the process they say ignored their concerns over what they perceived to be racist remarks, support for white supremacist groups, and a lack of respect for women from Trump. So here's the interesting thing about endorsements when it comes from unions, right? So I'm a union member, and typically unions usually endorse Democratic candidates. And the reason why unions typically, you know, endorse Democratic candidates is because Democratic candidates tend to support collective bargaining. They tend to support allowing the workers of an industry to unionize. They tend to be against right to work legislation, all of which would allow workers to unionize and not be faced with penalties for doing so. And not only like the right to work legislation is really just a Republican ploy to defund unions. Right. So when you have unions who have funding from their membership, what do they use those funds for? A lot of times they use those funds to lobby on behalf of their membership politically. And so if the Republicans can gut that funding from the membership, and you got people who are members of a union who don't have to pay into the union, but they get the same dues. They get the same protection from the union. They get the same wages that the union members get. They get the same benefits that the union members get, but they don't have to pay the same dues that the union members are paying. It guts the union's ability to not only collectively bargain, but also to negotiate politically on the behalf of their members, right? And so the fact that police unions are kind of like that outlier. Police unions right now are upset at the fact that the community is saying, we need y'all to be held more accountable for the shit that y'all have been doing within the community. You guys should be more accountable to us as constituents, also as folks who pay your fucking bills, i.e. through taxes, right? And so if you feel like you can come through my neighborhood and treat me any kind of fucking way, also, a lot of times those police don't even live in that city, don't even live in that neighborhood, are totally transplants to that city where they're policing, right? Don't even have to live there a lot of places. You don't have the same connection to the people. You don't have the same level of connection to the community that would mitigate a lot of the, like a lot of the tragedies that are happening when it comes to police overstepping their bounds, when it comes to police killing unarmed black people, unarmed people of color and everything else. So, the fact that there are black police officers who are willing to step forward publicly in this way is a, is heartening, right? Because far too often we're talking about the police in a way where, like, you kind of put all of them in this one, you know, this one big bag where all of them are kind of fucked up. And truthfully speaking, there are some police officers within the police departments who want to do good things, man. Unfortunately, sometimes the system that they're in a part of maybe doesn't allow that to be so. And so for them to kind of come together in this way to maybe amplify their voices, again, coming together to amplify those voices, this is something that is like a theme that should be, it's a theme that should be taken upon, right? But they come together, amplify those voices, and now we're hearing more about the black police officers who are like, yo, man, I know our union decided they were going to endorse Trump, but that's some bullshit. This is how we really feel about it. So, yo, man, that's in the news. Now, our last story that's here in the news is that Delta Airlines has decided that they're going to, they've added 460 motherfuckers to a no-fly list because these people refuse to wear a goddamn mask. We read the story here. This comes out of NBCNews.com. It says over 400 passengers won't be flying Delta anytime soon as a result of their alleged refusal to wear face masks during flights, according to the internal memo obtained by NBC News. In a letter to Delta employees Thursday, CEO Ed Bastain said that 460 customers who refused to wear face coverings amid the coronavirus pandemic were added to the airline's no-fly list. Wearing a mask is among the simplest and most effective actions we can take to reduce transmission, which is why Delta has long required them for our customers and our people. Bastain wrote as he announced the bans, encouraging staff to view two internal videos about their effectiveness. The Atlanta, Georgia-based airline and many other U.S.-based airlines began to require non-vented fabric face coverings during flights in May. The pandemic has already taken a grave toll on Delta and other airlines across the country, many of which began furloughing workers earlier this month when emergency relief funding lapsed without any new congressional funding. As COVID-19 cases jump across the country, Bastian wrote that reversing the airline's fortunes depends on fighting the coronavirus pandemic. With the cold weather months coming, stopping the spread will be crucial to our recovery from the pandemic and Delta's return to growth and leadership within our industry. So, yo, man, shout out to Delta. Shout out to Delta, my favorite airline. I fly them frequently. I'm a frequent flyer miles, you know, Delta Sky Miles member and all that other shit. Shout out to them, man, because truthfully speaking, yo, I am tired of you people. I am tired of you people who go to these stores, act like you ain't got to wear a mask and act like your freedom is being put upon, nigga. You didn't have to come to the store. I'm tired of you motherfuckers that go to restaurants and act like you don't have to go to, like, hey, man, you don't have to go to this restaurant. I'm tired of y'all going to these airports holding up. I ain't even been flying. But for the people who have to go fly for like their job and shit, or who have been flying for vacations or whatever, and they paid all this money to go to these places, and then they get on the airplane and then they got yo punk ass sitting in the goddamn row talking about some, I ain't gonna wear a mask because it's against my freedoms. Man, fuck you and fuck your freedoms, man. Because you don't have to fly there. As a matter of fact, this is a private entity here. We don't adhere to those rules here. Get the fuck off this plane, man. Stop playing with these people. We've allowed idiots to kind of take space in the public realm, man, and like act as though like their idiocy is supposed to hold equal weight to learned motherfuckers. Fuck that. Boot their asses off. So yeah, man, Delta Airlines, y'all did the right thing. Y'all did the right thing. I am Mr. Span, and I approve that message, right? So yeah, man, that has been the news. We'll be right back. time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say blue blazes.
All right, our first story here in blue blazes is Mitch McConnell, man. Mitch McConnell is in blue blazes. And the reason why Mitch McConnell is in blue blazes is like, yo, this man has been dodging hell questions, showing up to Congress with bruised face and bandaged ass hands and shit.
And I'll be a monkey's bare assed uncle.
Meanwhile, his wife is probably at home like,
you shouldn't have been talking shit.
He's probably getting his ass whooped. Let me read the story here. This comes out of New York Post. It says, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he has no health issues of concern despite sporting bruises and bandages on his hands this week. The 78-year-old Kentucky senator dodged questions about his health from reporters in the Capitol Thursday, CNN reported. Asked whether he had any health issues, McConnell answered, of course not, and then didn't respond when asked if he was being treated by a doctor. Later, McConnell, who was up for re-election, said there were no concerns when asked by the network about the bruises on his hands and whether he had any other health issues. His aide also declined to provide details when asked multiple times about the Republicans' health. McConnell has been busy working all week, including calling for a show vote on extended small business paycheck protection program loans on Tuesday and warring with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Thursday following the vote to advance Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination. Last year, McConnell, who was married to U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, suffered a fractured shoulder in the fall of his Kentucky home. He underwent triple heart bypass surgery in 2003. So here's the thing. Let me see if I can pull this picture up. I'm going to pull this up here so you guys can see this here. But as I'm looking at this photo, and I keep showing beer and chicken. This ain't beer and chicken. But look at this picture. His lips is purple and shit. His hand is all bruised and black and blue and whatever else, man. Look at this shit going on with his lips, man. You know, I, Mr. Span, am a fan of the show Lovecraft Country. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking like, yo, man, let me find out that this nigga is like a son of Adam or whatever, and he'd be like chopping niggas up for their body parts or whatnot, you know, to keep, you know, because that was a thing in Lovecraft Country, right? Like, he was chopping up black people or whatever, wearing their body parts for his part of his body because he, like, you know, he was using magic and all this other shit. I was thinking about that, man. That was first and foremost in my mind. When I first started seeing this nigga got black hands, black lips and shit like that, I was like, man, Mitch McConnell is a motherfucking son of Adam or something, right? But then the other thing kind of hit me, and I was thinking about this. Like, yo, maybe, just maybe, Mitch McConnell is into the BDSM, right? Right, right? Like, maybe Mitch McConnell is into some kinky shit. You know, maybe I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge. But maybe Mitch McConnell is like, yo, man, he wasn't taking heed to the orders that his dominatrix had for him. And she punished him righteously and shit. Like, you know, like, maybe she told him to, you know, get down and bark like a dog. And he didn't want to get down and bark like a dog. And then, like, she popped the nigga hand or some shit. You know what I'm saying? You know? Or maybe she told him to go to the kitchen and go get, like, some lemonade or whatever. And he ain't do it. And then she, like, bust his ass in the mouth. Like, it could have happened, you know? Now, I ain't here to yuck his yum. I ain't here to, like, you know, judge his sexual proclivities or whatever. It's all alleged. All I know is this motherfucker walking around with black hands and black lips. And nobody and nobody knows why the fuck Mitch McConnell is walking around with black hands and black lips. But, yo, man, that's in blue blazes. Another story that we got here in blue blazes is, hey man, so we talked about scammers a little bit last week, right? Talked about the scammers. And last week we was talking about the scammers. I believe it was Wells Fargo. Like, it was a whole bunch of, like, people who worked for Wells Fargo who was giving themselves government money when it came to the pandemic response, like, fund or whatever else, man. But apparently, man, you rappers. Y'all keep telling on yourselves. There was a rapper out of L.A. I believe they called this nigga. What's his name? I don't know if it's Nuke Bizzle? Is it Nuki Bizzle? I ain't never heard of this nigga, so y'all got to help me. But according to the New York Post, Nuke Bizzle, he bragged about defrauding the U.S. government of coronavirus funds. And yo, man, they locked his dumb ass up.
It was at this moment.
No, that ain't the right one, man. That ain't the right one. But, yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You crazy?
There we go. That's it. So we're going to read the story here. Like I said, it's coming out of the New York Post. It says a blowhard rapper has been busted in Los Angeles after rapping in a music video about getting rich by fraudulently obtaining COVID-19 unemployment benefits, federal prosecutors said. Fontrell. Bontrell Antonio Baines, 31, who goes by the stage name Nuke Bizzle, was arrested Friday for applying for more than $1.2 million in COVID-19 jobless relief funds in a scheme using stolen identities, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California. Prosecutors allege Baines and his co-conspirators fraudulently obtained at least 92 preloaded debit cards under the names of other people, including identity theft victims, prosecutors said. They were then sent to addresses that Baines had access to in Koreatown and Beverly Hills. In posts on Instagram, the rapper boasted repeatedly about his ability to defraud California's Employment Development Department. So, this is the problem, man. This is a problem. Like, I mean, yeah, the stealing part is bad. The stealing part is bad. No doubt. But I'm trying not to be like that nigga, you know, talk about like the old days and shit. I'm trying not to be that nigga. I'm trying not to be that Uncle Span, right? I'm trying not to be that guy. But I can remember a time where if a nigga did a crime like that, your biggest concern was keeping shit on the low. You didn't let nobody know where the money came from. You wasn't on fucking Instagram, like fucking bragging about it. You wasn't doing none of that shit. Nigga, like, no. We got the money. We got away with it. Let's keep a low profile. And like, maybe we get to spend this money, have some fun with this, that, and the other. But we kept a low profile. We made off like bandits. And we moving along, right? But no, that ain't what these niggas do, man. That ain't what these niggas do. These niggas go straight to fucking social media. These niggas go straight to social media like, hey, nigga, I just defrauded the fucking government, nigga. I got $1.9 million, nigga. Like, I got them, nigga. Like, what's wrong with y'all? You new niggas, man. I don't know. I got questions, man. I got questions. Ah, man, it says, Baines also shared a music video on YouTube titled EDD, in which he raps about getting rich off of EDD. In the video, he points to a stack of EDD envelopes and brags about getting rich by going to the bank with a stack of these, presumably a reference to the debit cards that were issued in the scheme. That's also the, like, so you go to this, I'm sure, like, the bank is like, nigga, ain't no way. Ain't no way, dog. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, the bank probably the ones who told on him. Like, you know what? Despite the fact that this nigga was on YouTube and on Instagram, on probably on Facebook too, telling on himself, the bank was probably like, hey man, y'all need to call this nigga Fontrell, man. Fontrell out here bugging. He got like a stack of like 90 fucking debit cards that came from y'all. Y'all might need to holler at him. Right? Said the unemployment so sweet. We had 1.5 land this week. Bane said in the video, while another rapper chimes in, you gotta sell cocaine, I could just file a claim. Baines faces 3 felony counts of access device fraud, aggravated identity theft, and interstate transportation of stolen property in connection to the scheme. If convicted of the charges, he faces up to 22 years in federal prisons. I'm telling you, scammers, they own y'all ass, man. They gonna get their money. They gonna get their shit. They gonna get it either. You gonna pay the shit back, or you gonna pay the shit back in time. But they gonna get their shit, man. Y'all need to chill out, man. Stop getting on the motherfucking gram and shit, telling on yourselves, man. It's crazy, man. as the homie Trey is, and it's talking about fuck your freedoms, man. indeed, fuck your freedoms, man. That's in Blue Blazers, man. Real talk. Now another story that we got here in Blue Blazers. Now we went in on Ice Cube quite a bit last week. We went in on Cube. I think I spent damn near an hour going in on Ice Cube last week. And I think Ice Cube heard the nigga, you know what I'm saying? I think the nigga heard me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, far be it from me not to take credit. You know what I'm saying? Your man Span be saying some profound shit sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I'm always right sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But yo, Ice Cube is in Blue Blazers this week. And the reason why Ice Cube is in Blue Blazers this week is that he is now saying he does not support Donald Trump, but he is what you would call an undecided voter.
What?
He said he is not a supporter of Donald Trump, but he's an undecided voter.
What?
He undecided.
What?
All right. Okay, so he's an undecided voter. Now, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of uprocks.com. It says, in recent days, Ice Cube has dealt with backlash after the public learned that he worked with the Trump administration on a black outreach program that has led to the inevitable speculation that he's become a Donald Trump supporter, and now he has clarified his stance on that front. Ice Cube sat down for an interview with Hot 97, and during the chat, he declared, I'm not supporting Donald Trump. That was in response to an Ebro question about potentially being put off by the white supremacy alignment of Donald Trump and the people he is working for him who are overt white supremacists. Ice Cube continued, white supremacy do turn me off, but it's everywhere and it's on both sides of the aisle. Again, that bullshit false equivalency shit. That was the thing I told y'all last week. He's falling for that bullshit false equivalency. That's just the reality that we live in. I'm not naive to that. We're engulfed in white supremacy. So that's just something we're going to have to fight our way out of, and we're going to have to fight on all fronts. He also said that the Democratic Party doesn't automatically have his vote. Although he has voted for Democratic candidate in every election, he insisted he's still an undecided voter, saying, I actually haven't. I'm going to vote because there are a lot of things to vote for in California, up and down our city, in our state. I'm a real true undecided voter because they're not doing enough. Now, interestingly enough, as Ice Cube talks about them not doing enough, the Congressional Black Caucus actually have come out, and they've kind of juxtaposed what they've already passed in the House of Representatives to what's going on in the Platinum Plan and also what's going on in Cube's Contract with Black America. And many of the things that are already in the Congressional Black Caucus's plans or that are already passed as law in the House of Representatives, they're being held up by the Republican-controlled Senate and Donald Trump, right? this is the reason why a lot of that stuff is being held up. So it's interesting to hear someone like an Ice Cube get on, like, you know, Hot 97 and talk about them not doing enough when, nigga, a lot of the shit that they already are, like, you talking about, they already are doing, but the government being divided in the way that it is prevents a lot of these things from coming to fruition, right? So Ice Cube, unfortunately, like I said, is one of those folks where he seems to have allowed himself to become influenced by some like low quality information, right? Ice Cube also is one of those people who here's the thing with like celebrity and how I think we should really address this. A lot of people, and I watched this happen on my timelines on not only just Twitter and like not only Twitter but Facebook too. A lot of people walk around with this idea that like, well, I don't understand what Ice Cube is doing that is so wrong. It seems innocuous, right? It seems innocuous. And a lot of the things that the Republicans have been able to do has been able to cloak a lot of the shit that they want to do in innocuous language. And if you can cloak the shit in innocuous language where it doesn't seem as harmful, then you got people walking around thinking, well, it can't be that bad, when in actuality, they stand to be hurt by a lot of the shit that's coming down. And so Ice Cube with the false equivalency, Ice Cube with the low quality information, Ice Cube like talking as though like Democrats have not produced legislation that addresses the concerns that he has, allows for someone like a Donald Trump to pretend as though he has stepped up to fill that void when he hasn't. And we've had 3.5 years of this motherfucker in the White House to prove that he hasn't. You can go to the legislation if you just, you know, decide to read, but most folks won't. A lot of people get their information from memes. They don't read books. They don't read articles. They read the headlines. Right? And so when you're dealing with people who don't necessarily read books and they don't read past the headlines, sometimes the only thing you got left to do is like converse with these motherfuckers in the memes in which they are. Like, you got to meet them where they're at, right? So get as much information to them in memes, so to speak. Put it in 280 characters on Twitter or whatever. You know? Have some shit that, like, you know, they can, like, look to, like a graphic or something that they can look to, because they're not going to read your shit. They're not going to read your dissertation. They're not going to read your article that's 2 pages long. Like, if they see an article that says it's going to take them 10 minutes to read, they're going to be like, nigga, you want me to do all this reading and shit, nigga? Like, lots of folks aren't going to do it. They're not going to do it. So you got to meet them where they are. Give them the information in a way in which they can consume it. Because we're really in a propaganda sort of like war. There's a propaganda war. Unfortunately, Ice Cube allowed himself to be used in a way where the Trump administration could be, and it's something that I said weeks ago, that even if Ice Cube wasn't a Trump supporter, he's allowed himself to be linked to where it appeared to be so. And people will react to him in that way. I said this weeks ago. Now, truthfully, some of the other things that Cube has been doing kind of lends me to believe that, like, he's saying he's undecided now, but I still believe he's a Trump supporter, because he has this thing of, like, kind of saying a criticism of the Democratic Party without saying it, leaning towards Trump. You know, it's kind of a tell, right? But yeah, man, Ice Cube says he's undecided. And y'all know how I feel about undecided voters in this particular juncture. I don't believe they really fucking exist. I think they all full of shit. But that's in Blue Blazes. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazes, man. Jeffrey Toobin. Now, some of you may not even know who the fuck Jeffrey Toobin is. But Jeffrey Toobin is a legal analyst for CNN. He's also a writer for The New Yorker magazine. And Jeffrey Toobin was Zooming with his colleagues at the New Yorker. And he was... choking on his tubing, choking the chicken. Allegedly, he was choking the chicken on a Zoom call with his goddamn coworkers. While, yeah, man, that's just what it is. He was choking the chicken while on the Zoom call with his coworkers. So we're gonna read this story here. This comes out of, let's see, where did we get this story, man? This comes out of Vice, ViceNews.com. It says the New Yorker has suspended reporter Jeffrey Toobin for masturbating on a Zoom video chat between members of the New Yorker and WNYC radio last week. Toobin says he did not realize the video was on.
What?
Yeah, he said he did not realize that the video was on.
What?
Yeah, he said, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers, Toobin told Motherboard. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video, he added. Two people who were on the call told Vice separately that the call was an election simulation featuring many of the New Yorker's biggest stars. Jay Mayer, who was playing establishment Republicans. Evan Osnos was Joe Biden. Jelani Cobb was establishment Democrats. Masha Gessen was playing Donald Trump. Andrew Marantz was the far-right. Sue Halperin has left-wing Democrats. Was the far right. Sue Halperin was left-wing Democrats. Dexter Filkins was the military, and Jeffrey Toobin playing the courts. There was also a handful of other producers on the call from
hold on a second.
Jeffrey Toobin was on a call with all of these people in a mock election simulation I'm amazed. First of all, I'm amazed at the amount of multitasking that Jeffrey Toobin was doing while he was masturbating on the Zooming. That was terrible. I'm just saying, imagine the level of concentration or lack thereof, because apparently the nigga didn't know he was on like the Zoom call. Like, but think about this, man. Like, you on a work call and you jacking it on a work call. That's like a nigga at my job getting caught jacking it in the back of a truck or something, right? Like, man, all of this shit going on, but this is what you thinking about. This is what you thinking about. Like, man, we gotta get fucking like gas to this house, but like you in the back jacking it. Like, go on, working hard in the paint, apparently. How? Like, how does one? Also, like, you on a work call, or like, how many of y'all are actually, like, real talk? Because I'm not fortunate enough to be able to, like, work from home and shit, but, like, how many of y'all are really sitting at home, at work, in no pants? Or while you're on a call, a video call at that, where you ain't got on no pants. Like, because I kind of believe bottoms are a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Be they shorts, be they jogging pants. Like, you could be suited and booted from the waist up, but you could have on like some shorts or something, you know. A whole lot of your people that like, you know, do the satellite shots and stuff for like ESPN and CNN and all that shit, they be like suited and booted from the top up, because that's all you're gonna see anyway. So they got the like the shirt and the tie and the jacket and shit, but they got all motherfucking jogging pants, bro, and the flip-flops, right? But he ain't have on nothing. Like, he just had the dick flopping around. Zooming and tubing, it sounds like a fucking zooming and tubing sounds like a what's that? One of those like personal injury lawyers and lawyer firms and shit. Like, call 1-800 who hit you or some shit like that. Yo, man, Jeffrey Toobin jacking his dick while on the call. Now, I know he got suspended from the New Yorker. CNN just gave this nigga like time off. They were like, all right, man, we know your shit fucked up. go ahead, get your house together, because we know the wife is probably in your ass right now, man. You about to fuck up the money. Your wife's probably in your ass. But yo, man, Jeffrey Toobin called jacking it on the job, man. That is in Blue Blazers now. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazers, man, is so in Pennsylvania, there's some folks who don't necessarily want Joe Biden to become president, even though Joe Biden comes from Pennsylvania. But they did so, like these people who are opponents of Joe Biden, they did so by putting up a billboard that alleges that Joe Biden has dementia. Now, the problem is, these motherfuckers did not know how to spell dementia. Yeah. So we get this story here. This comes out of Newsweek.com. It says a billboard alleging Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is not mentally fit to be president is not as persuasive as it hoped to be due to the glaring spelling error. The billboard in Biden's native Pennsylvania, a key battleground state, echoes President Donald Trump's repeated attacks on his opponent's mental capacity and makes the unsubstantiated claim that Biden has dementia that is worsening. But those who know how to spell the word dementia will find it hard to look past the billboard's shocking misspelling. Biden's dementia is worsening. He is not fit, it reads. They spelled dementia D-I-M-E-N-S-I-A. You spell dementia D-E-M-E-N-T-I-A, right? It says Evan Ludi took the picture of the billboard located on Route 21 at the intersection of Matthew Drive and the Route 119 bypass in Fayette County and posted it to Twitter last week. Fayette County billboards absolutely obliterated the word dementia. Ludi, a 22-year-old resident of nearby Uniontown, captioned the tweet, which soon went viral. The irony is just hilarious. Now, so here's the thing, though, right? And I want y'all to take heed to this. The people who promote these sorts of fucking conspiracies, the people who promote this sort of like rhetoric, they're not the brightest bulbs in the box, man. Not the sharpest knives in the drawer, not the sharpest pencils in the case or whatever, however the fuck that saying goes. They're not sharp people. And so, like, it's amazing. Like, anytime you see anybody who's willing to, like, kind of buy into this sort of rhetoric, it tells you a couple different things. One, it tells you that they're, again, purveyors of low quality information. And secondly, they were predisposed to believe in this sort of shit in the first place. Third thing is they don't really have that great, their critical thinking skills aren't that great. But they got people who are buying billboards who accuse this man of having dementia, don't even know how to fucking spell dementia. It seems to me as though you have a more pressing mental concern than worrying about whether or not Joe Biden maybe has dementia or not, right? But yo, man, that's been Blue Blazers.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
But y'all know what time it is. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. That's enough of that shit. It's proud to be an American time here at the Spare and Poor Podcast. And our first story here in Proud to Be an American has to do with the fact that in Texas, social workers can now turn away members of the LGBTQ community and disable people who come to them for their services.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. So we get this story here. This comes out of... Hold on a second. Let me pull this up. This comes out of Yahoo News. All right, so we're going to read the story here. This comes out of the Yahoo News. It says, Texas social workers can now turn away LGBTQ clients and those with a disability. The State Board of Social Work Examiners voted unanimously to change a section of his code of conduct last week following a recommendation from Republican Governor Greg Abbott to remove protections for sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability. Abbott's office said the change was suggested because the board's non-discrimination clause went beyond the state's policy on social work. It's not surprising that a board would align its rules with statutes passed by the legislature, Renee Eze, a spokesperson for Abbott's office, said. Officials said the State Board of Social Work Examiners is now facing backlash for the decision, with some advocacy and professional organizations saying it could put already vulnerable, disabled, and LGBTQ people at a greater risk. After the policy change became public, seven advocacy groups released a joint statement condemning the move. The social workers' code of conduct previously helped ensure ethical treatment of all clients and prevented bias-motivated misconduct, Ricardo Martinez, CEO of the statewide LGBTQ group Equality Texas, said in a statement. Now, with the removal of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression from the code of LGBTQ+, folks who experience discrimination could face more obstacles to getting the help they need. So, yeah, man, I know people hate when I do it. I don't care because it's valid. It's a valid thing. But could you imagine if social workers, under the recommendation of a politician, told you that because of you being black, that you should no longer be treated by this profession because of the fact that you're black, right? Could you understand? I'm pretty sure a lot of you wouldn't be happy with that development. And so the fact that even in 2020, we have people who are still willing to accept the discrimination of a group of people because they're not a part of that group is always something that I find abhorrent, something that I find, you know, just distasteful, something that should be called out at all means. So, and not just the people of the LGBTQ community, but those who are disabled as well. Things that these folks have no control over, things that these folks didn't have a choice in. They're being penalized over things they had no decision, there was no decision to be made there. It kind of makes me think, like, there are so many people still walking around with the level of ignorance that they're comfortable with. And they express it in ways that could be harmful to others because they don't have to deal with that discrimination, right? But we walk around all day long, especially us as black folks, we walk around all day long upset with the racial discrimination that we're faced with on a daily basis. Some of these people who are the LGBTQ community are dealing with not only being black, but also being of the LGBTQ community as well, because not only are they facing the racism of being, you know, like the racism being meted towards them from being black, but also sometimes dealing with the ostracization that comes with being of the LGBTQ community as well. They get it double, right? And I know some folks don't necessarily like the comparison, but they don't like the comparison because the comparison rings true. That if you too are also capable of discriminating against another group of people, then you don't necessarily have the moral high ground, so to speak, when it comes to these issues. You can't speak with any sort of moral authority on anything if you're willing to discriminate against another group of people about something they have no fucking control over whatsoever. So, yeah, man, Texas social workers being able to deny those of the LGBTQ community and those who have been disabled for whatever reason, however it happened to them, for them to be able to them to deny that service to them is abhorrent, man. And keep in mind who the fuck is always promoting this level of fucking, like, this fuckery, man. Keep in mind, it's a constant flow from the same goddamn people. This is why I don't buy the bullshit of the false equivalency that so many people find themselves doing, man. Like, well, you know, the Democrats did this and the Democrats did. And then when you look up what they're talking about, it's some shit that they did like 30 years ago. Some shit that happened 40 years ago. Some shit that happened 50 years ago. And then you like, well, okay, so I'm supposed to ignore the shit that's going on today because of some shit that happened years ago that they don't even fucking promote anymore. What about what's going on right now, dude? Don't tell me that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves when we know he fucking didn't. Right? Don't tell me that fucking, you know, about that 94 crime bill, not understanding the intricacies of that crime bill and who was supporting it when. Don't tell me about that shit if you can't talk about the shit that's going on right fucking now. All right? Texas social workers can... That's in Proud to Be an American, man. Another story here in Proud to Be an American is, so there was a judge who just stopped Donald Trump from being able to stop the food stamps of over 700,000 Americans throughout this country, man.
And that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, we read this story here. This comes out of ABC7.com. It says some employees at a Florida manufacturing... Oh, this is not the right story. My bad. My bad. This actually comes out of NBCNews.com. And it says a federal judge struck down a Trump administration rule that would have reduced food stamp benefits to nearly 700,000 people. In her Sunday ruling, U.S. District Court Chief Judge Beryl Howell wrote that implementing the change radically and abruptly alters decades of regulatory practice, leaving states scrambling and exponentially increasing food insecurity for tens of thousands of Americans. In December, the Department of Agriculture formalized a proposal for work requirements for recipients of food stamps. Now, here's the other part about this, right? So a lot of you people who aren't on food stamps tend to believe that like most of the people who are receiving food stamps aren't under some form of work requirements already. They're just sitting at the crib, receiving all these benefits and shit. They don't have to do anything for it, which is the furthest thing from the fucking truth. And the reason why it's the first, well, and the reason why this level of punitive sort of legislation can even come to pass is because so many of you believe that, right? It says that in December, the Department of Agriculture formalized a proposal for work requirements for recipients of food stamps, formerly known as the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, that would have disqualified an estimated 688,000 people from food benefits. Secretary Sonny Perdue said at the time that the changes were made in order to restore the dignity of work to a sizable segment of our population and to be respectful of the taxpayers who fund the program. These people were already under work requirements. In her ruling Sunday, Howell wrote that the department which administers the food stamp program had been icily silent about the number of people who would be affected by its proposed reduction in benefits, adding that one estimate from May 2020 found that SNAP rosters have grown by over 17% with over 6 million new enrollees. It wasn't the first time Howell ruled against the proposal. In March, she issued a preliminary injunction against the rule that also referred to the food security threat posed by the then burgeoning coronavirus pandemic. Keep in mind, this is the other part that I hadn't even think about. That while in the middle of a pandemic, while some people are having trouble finding work, while some people are having trouble keeping food on the table, that this administration, while they're talking about how great they are for you, how great they are for like minorities and everything else, that they would not only be seeking right now to pass a Supreme Court justice who threatens to take away your health care, but also threatens to take away food from the most vulnerable of us because they believe that these people aren't paying enough into the system to warrant the SNAP benefits that they're receiving. During a pandemic where some of those same folks are having trouble putting food on the table. But y'all want me to believe that these are, that when it comes to Donald Trump and Republicans and Joe Biden and Democrats, that they're two sides of the same coin. Fuck out of here, man. Like, seriously, fuck out of here and fuck you. That's in Proud to Be an American. We got another story here in Proud to Be an American, man. This comes out of Florida. And this comes out of ABC7.com. This is actually the story I almost started to read. But, in Florida, there was a company who decided to tell his employees that if Donald Trump loses this election, then they may well just lose their fucking jobs. There's video attached to this. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch right along with me here. And let's do that. Let's see. As soon as this shit loads up, come on, Comcast, don't be an ass tonight. taking a while for this shit to load up. All right, so there's the video. Let me go ahead and play this so you guys can watch right now. Oh, shit, an ad. Let me go ahead and mute that shit because we don't want y'all ads being played for free. Y'all not paying me and shit, you know? All right, here's the story.
We caught up with some of the 70 employees as they were heading home from Daniel's Manufacturing in Orlando, where a Trump banner is displayed on the flagpole out front.
That's got to be welcoming to come to a fucking work and like know that like the people you work for like are real big fucking Trump supporters, especially if you're not a Trump supporter. It's got to be real motherfucking welcoming.
But some told us they were set to receive this letter obtained through a company source from DMC President George Daniels. The company, which makes tools and electronics for the aerospace, military, and aircraft industries, has been weathering the economic downturn. The letter warns if Trump and the Republicans win the election, DMC will hopefully be able to continue operating, more or less, as it has been operating lately. However, if Biden and the Democrats win, DMC could be forced to begin permanent layoffs beginning in late 2020 or early 2021. Stan Smith says the letter, which he considered offensive, is one of the reasons he's quitting.
It would be the black guy to be like, yo, man, this some bullshit. Like, this some bullshit.
Workers who told us they were too afraid to be fired to speak with us said they felt intimidated by the letter. I check campaign contributions with the federal government, and George Daniels has contributed just in this election cycle more than $600,000 to President Trump and PACs that are supporting him and other Republicans.
Now think about this for a second. He just said that the person who is the CEO or president of this company gave over $600,000 to President Trump's reelection efforts. But he's telling his workers that he may have to lay them off in the event that Trump loses this election. Could it be because you spent money that could have went into the business on fucking Donald Trump? Right? Like, I'm sure that those workers could have used a bit of that $600,000 that you were tossing around for Trump's reelection campaign. But you're threatening your workers with layoffs if Donald Trump doesn't win. Something that they don't really have control over. Right? Say, for instance, all of his employees decided they like, you know what, fuck it, I agree, I'm gonna vote for fucking Donald Trump because fuck it, it's good for my job, right? It's good for the American fucking worker, man. I'm gonna vote for fucking Donald Trump, man. It's good for the American worker because I believe that shit, man. And then Trump loses anyway. What the fuck, right? So, yeah, that's going on.
But a close look at those campaign finance records reveals contributions to Trump victory alone of more than $139,000. Could we talk to you about the letter that you sent to employees regarding the election? George Daniels declined to be interviewed on camera, but told me, I have been doing this for years. I have an obligation to let workers know what could happen based on the outcome of an election. They certainly should vote for the candidate they want. It's not against the law for business owners to talk politics with their employees. Some Daniels manufacturing workers tell us this letter went a step too far. In Orange County, Greg Fox, WESH 2 News.
Yeah, man, I certainly believe that some shit like this should be illegal. To hang over the employees' heads that they could lose their job if your political candidate of choice doesn't win an election. And also possibly trying to sway how they vote because you're tying their job to how the election results are going to go. I do believe that this is a form of voter suppression, because, you know, people feel as though their livelihood is on the line, then it may affect how they react in the poll. And like I said, even despite the fact that, say, for instance, if all of his employees said they were going to vote for Donald Trump, it doesn't mean that Donald Trump is going to win. And so now, what you have done is taken away votes that would have rightfully gone to Joe Biden away from him. suppressing the choice that these people really had. And so I think this sort of shit right here should be illegal. It's a form of voter suppression, and voter suppression takes on many forms. And we have seen it take on many forms through poll taxes, apparently through your employer threatening to lay your ass off if Donald Trump loses, through purging you from the rolls, from closing up polling places, to setting up fake drop boxes and shit, like for absentee ballots. Like all of these different mechanisms and machinations that they're using to try to get you to get away from voting for anybody other than Donald Trump. But this is the only instance of this sort of shit happening, man. So we got another story here, and this comes out of, hold on a second. Yeah, this comes out of Colorado. And in Colorado, there's a landlord who's telling his tenants that if Donald Trump loses this election, he may have to go up on a rent. We get this story out of Fox13News.com. It says residents of a trailer park in Colorado say they received a notice from their landlord claiming that their rent would dramatically increase if Democratic candidate Joe Biden becomes president. The tenants told KUSA the letter amounted to voter suppression. The station shared a photo of the note, which suggested rent would double in price if President Donald Trump lost the November 3rd election. The letter went on to say if Trump wins re-election, they promise not to raise the rent for 2 years. Voting is your choice. How come you couldn't do it the other way? It says voting is your choice, and we're not telling you how to vote, the note continued. We are just informing our tenants that what we will do according to the election results. Residents were alarmed after receiving the notice saying that they can't control the election. I mean, everybody was pretty shocked. Honestly, it was mainly hurtful. You know, resident Cindy Marquez told KUSA. How could someone say something like that or basically threaten us according to something we can't control? The landlord did not respond to repeated requests for comment. They never want to. They send this bullshit out, but they never really want to talk about the reasoning behind it. Since the Colorado Secretary of State's office confirmed with KUSA that they received a complaint, and they said they passed it along to the state's attorney general. However, a spokesperson for the Colorado Attorney General's office told Newsweek it would not comment on the issue, saying the office has not confirmed the existence of or comment on investigations of complaints. Our office comments on matters when and if we bring legal action. So you got companies who are threatening their employees with layoffs. You got landlords who are threatening to double the rents of their tenants if Donald Trump loses this election. This all screams fucking desperation, right? This screams desperation. Republicans know that if people come out in numbers, that they stand the chance of losing and losing big. They know this. They know that they don't have a platform that appeals to the vast majority of Americans. They know that a lot of their politics tends to skew more towards a minority view of what America should and could be. And so they have all these machinations, like I said, with the poll taxes. And I call them poll taxes because that's essentially what they are when you got in Florida, them trying to implement, you know, say that the former felons who just regained their right to vote have to pay restitution and fines before they can have their franchise restored. When you've got polling places that are being closed, when you've got polling machines that are not working, when you've got polling places that are, I'm sorry, when you got drop boxes, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and last week, where in Texas and in Ohio, where they have one drop box per county, to try to kind of curb the numbers of people who are absentee ballot, ballot voting and everything. Like, to have fake drop boxes, Republicans doing that in California. Like, there are so many different instances, so many different ways in which the Republican Party are trying to take your fucking voice and take your vote away from you. And y'all want us to believe that they are two sides of the same coin. Fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. But yo, that's been Proud to Be an American. That I'm proud to be an American. All right, but y'all know what time it is.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
It's Champ of the Week time here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man. And our Champ of the Week this week here is none other than, and I like to like give kudos to, I know we gave it to like the early voters and shit last week, but I want to do this for the young early voters, the those who skew towards the demographic of the 18 to 29 year olds, those who have the reputation for not showing up at the polls. Y'all been showing up and showing out, man. So I got this story here that I kind of wanted to read from as soon as I can find it. Where the fuck? Oh, okay. Here it is. But apparently, I don't know if his motherfuckers is tired of Trump and scared of Trump or what another 4 years of that may look like. Or, you know, people are just being activated and upset and like, yo, ready to get shit rolling. But, yo, young voters, young early voters are actually up to the tune of 31% across the fucking nation, man. Or should I say?
God damn!
Yeah, man. So we read the story here. This comes from PRNewsWire.com. It says, if there was any question about whether young people were going to turn out in 2020, the early data suggests we have an answer. Young people are highly motivated and are voting in very large numbers this year. While things could change, all the data suggests we are on track to see a very high youth turnout in this election, perhaps even record-breaking, says Simon Rosenberg, national political strategist and advisor to Clean and Prosperous America. Given that Biden is winning about two-thirds of young voters right now, a very large youth turnout will help Democrats win elections all across the country. Indeed, it is increasingly possible that Biden could match Obama's historic 2008 youth turnout rates and strong Democratic performance. It's a major development in the 2020 election, said Bill McClain, research and marketing director of Clean and Prosperous America. Notes. New Hampshire is not listed because no 2016 data exists for comparison to 2020. And while PA has seen a share of the youth vote decline this year, the raw vote has increased from 19,000 at this point in 2016 to 112,000 today. It is a reminder of how remarkable it is we're seeing the youth vote share grow in all of these states, given how many more people are voting this time nationally. And in many states, the youth vote is a larger slice of a much larger pie. Now, a couple of different things could have contributed to this. The fact that absentee balloting, like the rules for absentee balloting haven't been relaxed in a lot of states, allowing people to have the option that probably wouldn't have had it before. I know I didn't necessarily have the option before and I took advantage of it this year. The fact that, you know, because of the coronavirus pandemic and the use of the absentee ballots, a lot of folks found out the process is a lot easier than they thought it was prior. Also, the fact that Donald Trump is such a shitty fucking president and people are finding themselves in predicaments that they didn't believe that they would find themselves in could be a reason and one of the reasons driving these numbers. And I'll say this and I'll say this again, man. Well, I haven't said this, but I will say it now. Donald Trump's presidency, the whole reason why this shit is like a thing is to reverse what little gains we did get from the previous administration. His whole election was a backlash to what Barack Obama's presidency represented. That the white establishment in this country could promote this motherfucker with no credentials, with no fucking experience, with no gumption as to what is proper and correct. They could put their worst up there and say, well, even our worst could be president of the United States. While you guys are like, while us as black Americans are looking at what we consider one of our best. And they like, you know, well, we could put our worst in there and we'll get the same fucking results. You know, this is the reaction that I believe that a lot of white America felt in putting Donald Trump in fucking office. Right. And so, with that being said, if they could put up their worst and we're seeing their worst and we're feeling their worst, a lot of young voters who grew up with, you know, in a time where the president was cool, who grew up in a time where they didn't have to worry about what the president was fucking doing every day, who grew up in a time where the president wasn't on fucking Twitter as much as they were because he had shit to do. A lot of those voters, a lot of those young people are activated and mobilized and motivated like this. They want this to be over. And so I applaud y'all because y'all get a lot of shit. I know I give y'all shit, especially some of y'all who are Bernie Sanders supporters who go to those rallies and wasn't voting for Bernie, right? I gave y'all shit. But truthfully speaking, right now, early young voters, kudos to y'all, man. Kudos to y'all for stepping up out of that stereotype and making your voices heard and making sure that you do your part and getting this this racist regime up out of the paint, man. Real talk, man. I can't thank you guys enough. Kudos to y'all. Y'all are the champions this week here at the Spam Report Podcast, man. Real talk. But it is time for us to get on the body here. I've been running my mouth for quite a bit. But before we get up out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Go ahead and leave us those emails. And of course, we'll reply to and read those emails here live on the show. You can also check out our website at www.thespamreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show, vote in the polls when we decide to put those polls up. Leave us comments there. Go to our store, get yourself some Spam Report Podcast merch, man. It's on sale right now. You can get a t-shirt for $14, man, for real. Go ahead and cop yourself some merch. We even got face masks and all that shit. Get you some swag, man. Get you some Spam Report swag, for real. Go ahead and hook yourself up that way, man. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live in the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Real talk. But it is time for me to get on up out of here. I am hungry, man. I gotta eat. But I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam. Peace.